Hold the phones. If you want to lecture, fine. If you want your kids to take notes all class long, fine. But when you see them again, here's a tried and true method of differentiating instruction taught in a lecture, which enables individual learning paths, adheres to all of them at once, and allows the teacher to float and monitor without losing their minds. Stay tuned for this week's show titled Differentiating a Lecture. We've all been there. We start the class off saying that we have much to cover today, you guys. So I need everyone to get your notebooks out and get ready for a lot of learning. We fire up the old Promethean board, and away we go slide after slide, teaching steps, teaching vocab, teaching relevant information. 30 minutes pass, and you're still in this like content hole, barely able to see out at your students to gauge things like effort, attention, focus, or engagement of the current pace, let alone comprehension of the subject matter. This is the traditional way of issuing new information in explicit direct instruction, you guys. And knowing that this is the norm, schools have come up with a creative solution to handle said all too common situations. It's called intervention. They're adding an additional swing period that corresponds with subject matters and allows additional instruction and practice in that same subject. And formative and summative assessments guide who will see which teacher for that second period or that like lab period, as it's not to be the same teacher that they already had. The genius of this is multifaceted, as students hear the same information from another teacher, which in and itself has many benefits, right? Also, repetition is super beneficial here as well. So what I'm trying to do is supersize that ability to reach new students, knowing that you have them a second time, after knowing how well they know what has already been taught to them. Because when presented like this, it defines true education, but in a very rare form. What we're going to try to focus on today is the ability to teach information and then have students practice it while improving their learning of it and their ability to work with whatever the new information is, which is a long-winded way of saying we are going to traffic light a lecture. So I know I've talked about this on the show before, so let me go through this quickly. Like any traffic light, you have the colors red, yellow, green. And if you've listened to me discuss this, the strategy in the past is just genius. So I'll go over it, you know, in the many steps in depth with the examples that we have instead of explaining it. But really quickly, the green section would be an area in the room where, just like in the traffic light, it means you can proceed. However, in that classroom, it means that you do not need assistance and with the learning activity, and you could just kind of work independently. A yellow section in the room is just like what the traffic light calls for the learner to pause, because they are not able to proceed on their own without some sort of like scaffold or assistance in the room. And the yellow section may have some things like a graphic organizer already there at the table. Some visual representations of examples, let's say, or perhaps some harder vocabulary explained. As the teacher, you will have to stop by this yellow area, or you can have a student who is in the green area and has completed their work already sit in that yellow area afterwards and assist and tutor the other students one-on-one, peer-to-peer. And then, of course, you have the red area in the classroom, in the traffic light, which means that the learner really can't go forward with that assignment or task without assistance. And so you have scaffolds such as vocabulary, translations into specific languages. You have sentence starters. You have graphic organizers. You have pre-made examples. And this is an area of the room where the teacher will be able to sit and focus most of their attention in during the time all students are working on whatever the task is through the traffic light activity. And in any given classroom, the traffic light automatically breaks the class into three sections, red, yellow, green. All three sections are working at different paces, yet on the same information. If you just lectured new information and students took notes, or we're working on a handout, let's say, they may be able to use this on the assignment. And you may have already completed information stationed at the yellow and red areas as well. So you can see how this is setting the stage, right? This red, yellow, green activity or the traffic light activity shows the learner, allows for the learner to decide, you know, which area they want to sit in because of how much they comprehend on that current topic. And this puts the onus of the learner back on the student. So I really like the traffic light, and that's how it's explained really quickly. So it's important to note that because you have issued scaffolds and students are able to figure out and work independently or in the groups in these areas on the task at hand, this allows for a much more holistic variation of learning on an individual level for each student. And it's kind of like the opposite of one size fits all, right? So what I want to do is try it. Let's go through a couple of examples. I'll keep that middle school range. I'll stay in this math world. And we'll go from there. We'll do a green, a yellow, and a red. And let's go through a couple of examples. Okay, so the very first example we have in math is students confidently solve fractions, and they do these problems independently. And so in the green area, right, if that's our objective in their green area, we have solving some problems involving adding, subtracting, multiplying, and dividing fractions without any scaffolds. We have a couple of examples there. Students sit, they simplify those fractions in the lowest terms. After solving them, they apply those fractions to word problems. You can have some sort of like a peer challenge there as well, where you create and solve fraction word problems for each other. And then solving problems with mixed numbers or improper fractions could be like maybe an extended challenge there. In the yellow zone, and again, those green folks, they can chill in the yellow when they're done, and in the red as well, if they feel confident enough to support others. In the yellow zone, it's the area where we want students to develop the skills and guidance and the structured tools so they can start to work independently as well. And so there may be some step-by-step instructions already there for solving fraction operations, like visual aids for common denominators, guides for multiplying and dividing fractions, flip and multiply method for division, right? There could be some sentence starters such as to add these fractions, I need to find a common denominator by, right? Or to divide fractions, I need to first. Partially completed problems for the students to finish as well could be in the yellow area. You know, your activities may be solving scaffolded fraction problems with hints, using fraction bars or visual models to represent problems, and then practice matching improper fractions to mixed fractions or mixed numbers, and vice versa, right? So that's in your yellow area. In the red area, we're talking about building a basic understanding of fractions and their operations, right? So there you'd have a vocabulary wall, key terms and definitions and examples, numerator, denominator, reciprocal, equivalent, fractions, improper fractions. Visuals such as charts illustrating fraction adding, subtracting, multiplication, and division steps, diagrams of fraction bars, pie charts, number lines, graphic organizers that have that step-by-step breakdown. You know, for example, if we're talking about steps for adding fractions, you'd have one, find the common denominator, two, adjust numerators accordingly, three, add numerators and simplify, right? Think about how challenging that would be if you did not know that vocabulary, right? So for your ELD, et cetera, this is, you know, perfect. It's perfect to support these learners. You have a bunch of sentence starters. The numerator represents blank. To simplify this fraction, I need two. We have some manipulatives such as fraction tiles, fraction bars, circles for hands-on exploration. Activities there might be matching fractions to visuals, simplifying fractions with visuals and with teacher or student assistance, and then practicing solving step one fraction problems with clear examples. That's how you would conduct if you wanted to picture that classroom, green, yellow, red areas. You just taught that information. You just assessed them. I would challenge you, if you did something similar to this, because we're going to go over one more example, but if you did something similar to this, in the way that you're currently folding it out, like let's say you're teaching, one teacher is teaching it, and then another teacher is teaching it in a similar way, test the students and assess, and then the following time try, one teacher teaches it in a certain way, and then the next intervention period, traffic light it. Then when you do your assessment, determine whether or not your results are comparable. See if we can find some sort of a trend. I challenge you guys. And I'm on this math kick, so let's stay with it, right? Let's keep ratios and proportions at the helm of what we're talking about now. So students in the green zone solve ratios and proportion problems fluently and independently. Some activities could be solving word problems involving ratios and proportions, simplifying ratios and express them in different forms, finding equivalent ratios using multiplication or division, solve proportions by cross multiplication, real world application examples with scale recipes, maps, etc. A challenge problem there could be solving multiple step ratio problems involving percentages and fractions. Okay, so then in your yellow area, you want students to develop the skills with guided assistance so that they can eventually start to work independently as well. Here we may have some worksheets with partially completed problems for ratios and proportions. Some sentence starters, you know, to solve this proportion, I multiply. Step-by-step guides for cross multiplication, visual aids, such as ratio tables and number lines as well. Work on problems with some provided hints. The activities could be like using ratios or double number lines to visual equivalent ratios, practicing matching ratios to word problems. An example there would be match 5 blue marbles to 10 red marbles with 5 to 10, right? And then, of course, don't forget you can have somebody from the green go into yellow or into red and assist after they are complete. So you almost multiply your ability to reach others. In the red zone, our goal here is to build a basic understanding of ratios and proportions. And so we'll have that vocabulary wall with words such as ratios, proportions, equivalent ratio, cross multiply. We'll have some visuals such as diagrams of ratio concepts, real world examples such as recipe ingredients in sports teams, statistics, you guys, holy moly, right? Graphic organizers, step-by-step problem solving charts, sentence starters, a ratio compares blank to blank, manipulatives such as ratio cubes, fraction strips, colored counters for hands-on exploration, who cares? Activities such as using manipulatives, practicing identifying ratios from picture to word problems, and solving simple one-step ratio problems, such as there are two dogs and four cats, write the ratio of dogs to cats. Try it. See how this enables everyone to participate. I've often heard that teachers will say, well, if you're the kid in the class, you know, I might as well just go over to the yellow where most of it is done for me, and then I can fly through it. Awesome. Go into the green then and take part in what the people in the green are doing afterwards. Nothing wrong with that. Provide the ability for them once they have finished to go into the green and keep going. What they just did was work. What would they have done prior? So what are we saying here? Okay, in a long-winded way, direct instruction conducted properly is accompanied with application and discussion. So this is the same way of doing just that without having the discussion, though. A teacher can stand up and look around the room and see how many are at the red, yellow, and green areas in the room, and then their own personal exit strategy has just been conducted in a very formative way, but nonetheless accurate. The goal, of course, being to get as many out of the red area as possible and into the yellow, or everybody into the green, and you want students working independently or on their own learning pace. Another example of this would be if you were to give out a worksheet to the entire class at once, right? Without doing a red, yellow, green, and just saying, here's the worksheet. Raise your hand if you have any questions. A teacher is popping from person to person. Even if you put kids in groups, let me know if you have any questions at your table, and now you're going from table to table. You're making that task hard on yourself. This does the opposite. Same thing. but a lot easier on the teacher. And if you wanted to do this tomorrow, take what you taught today and break it into three sections using the lens that pushes the green group, aids the yellow group, and supports the learning of the third group in a way that holistically surrounds style and practice. If you did this traffic light in your intervention weekly, you're conducting a formative assessment that can almost break three rooms into a one that's red, one that's yellow, and one that's green. Why not? Why not have tons of support and scaffolds everywhere and have students immerse themselves in it upon entrance into that classroom? What could that do? What about this one? Assist the red with more staff. Whoa. Well, who else could go in that red room? If we're talking about implementing co-teaching, we're automatically creating an environment within the red that demands more than a 1-2, whatever that number is, as every kid in that room would require attention and support. Interesting. Wow. Try it and see, you guys. I don't know what else to say. I've been talking about this long enough. This is what's trending on the East Coast. I've seen this in schools in Southern California, and I've seen how well it worked. I know that teachers are doing it. And when they do, they understand, A, how easy it is. B, how you're almost already doing that already, you know, but over a lengthy period of time, so it's more effort is upon the teacher. And see, I mean, you're able to reach every learner at once in a way that's just extreme. So folks, this is Joe Colossi. I'm your traveling principal here saying that it's great to teach new information, but without ensuring comprehension, we are creating an obstacle that wasn't there prior for that student. And they now have to figure out how to get out of that or over it before they move on to something else, which happens very often. And is why programs like intervention work, because especially when there's a second go at teaching, and this is conducted in a way that involves the learner, is self-paced and therefore maximizes retention of information, everybody wins. So thanks for listening. Please like and subscribe if you enjoyed this show, and I'll see you next week.